Right, so coming back to Colossians chapter 3, Paul likes lists, loads of lists in his letters. And in this passage, we actually have five lists. And thinking about three of them, two are lists of the bad things, and one is a list of the good things. And Daniel, if you could put up the next slide, please. So we could say a list of vices and virtues. Well, here the list of the bad things. Now, notice particular, Paul says, put off, put to death, or get rid of. Those are the words he uses for these bad things. Now, we've got sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, greed, which is idolatry. And then we've got, so probably most of those are sexual sins, to be honest, but probably greed includes other things like greed of money and so on, material things. And then on the right-hand side, we've got if you like, sins of the tongue. Which I say we're seeing quite a lot of these days. Anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language, and then he adds, and do not lie to each other. So it'd be to be telling the truth. And then we've got a list of the good things. And if, he says put on, but some translations translate as clothe yourself. So there's sort of analogy there of putting on clothes. So we've got compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. So I'd say with all of these lists, they're not all-inclusive lists, so other things we could put on there. They're sort of fruit of the spirit type of things, aren't they? In Galatians, we've got a list of the fruits of the spirit. So we've got nine listed in the verse in Galatians chapter 5. It talks about forgiveness, the importance of forgiving one another. But then he says, above all these things, put on love, which holds all these other things together in perfect unity, which is what we're aiming at. So we can say these are values of the kingdom of God, and they are the fruit of the Spirit. Now, I'm at great risk now of embarrassing myself, but here goes. Excuse me for a minute. Probably embarrassing my family as well. Right. I knew Rita would laugh. Right, in the summer, in a few weeks' time, in about 3 weeks' time, we're going to a wedding. How do you think they would feel if I turned up like this? There'd be a problem. Why?
You are not properly dressed.
I'm not properly dressed. Well, that's true. I'm not properly dressed to go to a wedding. Okay, so I think I had better put off this clothing. Well, let's take this off. Oh, it's actually a bit difficult to get it off. Oh, just got it off, yeah. Might take a bit of a while to get it off. Oop. Okay, I've got it off. Take this off. Do you know, actually, think of Lazarus in, you know, Lazarus who was raised from the dead in John chapter 11. And He came out of the tomb and he was wrapped up with grave clothes. And Jesus said, take off the grave clothes. And they began to take off the grave clothes. It's a bit like that with us. We have to take off the grave clothes, or your Wurzel Gummidge hat, so that the new life that's in you can find expression. So, at this point, I probably should have a tie that I put on, and I should have a nice jacket to put on as well. But you get the idea of putting off the old and putting on the new. Now, believe it or not, and probably you'll all believe it because you know it anyway, Jesus told a parable about clothes and being at a wedding. And he said, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son being Jesus. And then, just to summarize it, his servants were sent out to bring along all those who were invited. All those who were invited, which was really the majority of the Jewish nation at that time, refused. And they made all sorts of excuses why they couldn't go to the wedding banquet. So the king was not best pleased, but he sent his servants then out into the highways, into the byways, and to invite anyone that they could find. And as a result, the hall was filled with guests. But then we read in verse 11, and I've got a nice picture here. But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing wedding clothes. And he asked, how did he get in here without wedding clothes? Well, actually, he asked, how did you get here in here without wedding clothes, friend? And the man was speechless. The king threw him out. It says it threw him out into outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Whatever that exactly means, it's not something that sounds very nice to me. Here's members of the heavenly kingdom, and Paul said we are citizens of heaven. We have to be properly clothed. And this has not got to do with putting on your best clothes for a Sunday service, which actually may be nice but means very little. It has to do with being spiritually clothed, being spiritually clothed with the righteousness of Christ, without which we cannot be part of the kingdom of the wedding banquet. And of course, when we're thinking of wedding banquets, it is the kingdom of God now, but certainly as the great marriage feast of the Lamb that the book of Revelation speaks of in the kingdom of God in the future. And we need to remember that this is the teaching of Jesus. So in Colossians, we've got the teaching of Paul about being clothed in the right way and the wrong way. But here, going back to Jesus, Jesus is coming up with the same idea here. And in fact, it's an idea that we find prophesied about in the Old Testament as well. For example, listen to this in Isaiah 61, verse 10. I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God. It sounds like Mary, doesn't it? For he has clothed me with the garments of salvation and arrayed me with the robe of his righteousness, as a bridegroom adorns his head like a priest, and as a bride adorns herself with jewels. When we become a Christian, we are clothed with his righteousness, we're clothed with his salvation, We are clothed with Christ. It's something that he does for us. In a sense, we do it by responding. Well, Paul said in Galatians, "For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ." Right. So, being clothed with Christ is essential for being accepted by God. Accepted on the basis of what he has done for us. We, if you like, are in Christ. When we get dressed, we put our clothes on. We get into our clothes. We don't put our clothes inside of us. Now, there are places in the Bible, in Colossians, where Paul talks about Christ in us, the hope of glory. But the metaphor here we've got, which again is so common in Paul's letters, is that of being in Christ. As Christians, we are in Christ. We are clothed with Christ. That's something that's happened. As you see in this verse in Galatians, all of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. So there's a question. And I think actually this might be the next one, Dan. If we're already clothed with Christ, why do we need to keep putting off the old and then keep putting on the new, as we see in this passage? You know, put to death therefore whatever belongs to the old. If it's something that's happened, why do we need to keep on doing it? And in verse 12, where it says, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves. See, we need to keep on doing it. And I think the reason is because salvation is not just a past event. It's also a present, ongoing event. We have been saved, we are being saved, and we will be saved. Salvation is not just what happened in the past, but it's also a process. If you like, the Christian life is a life to live, and hopefully we want to live it in a Christian way. You see, what God has done for us, that's a given. We can't earn it. He's done it all for us. Living in such a way that brings my life into conformity with what God has done for us is not a given. And just thinking about this analogy of getting dressed, undressed, and so on, that's something we do every day of our lives, isn't it? Like we get undressed, and in the morning we get dressed again, day by day, every day. I think this is a bit what Colossians is like. We need to be spiritually putting off the old, spiritually putting on the new. And there is a bit of a battle there as well. And this is why Paul begins by saying, set your hearts on those things which are above and not on the earthly things. I find this an amazing chapter about Christian living, and there's quite a lot more to it as well, but we're just going to leave it there for this morning. Amen.